Well, you're ready for unit number four. Hard to believe we're already at the end of this whole set of curriculum, dealing with the family and marriage relationships. As you notice, perhaps I'm in the same shirt because I'm just taping immediately after I taped last week. I mentioned last week that I was having to actually teach this or work with you through this before I am with my group. And so I prepared 2 weeks in advance knowing that I was going to miss this next week. So though I will not be actually teaching this to my group because I'll be gone, I still nevertheless wanted to work through the material, prepare my lesson plan. 3 years from now, when I come back and I'm teaching this, as some of you hopefully will be, I'll have this lesson plan. I will look at it, but I will still, again, 3 years from now, work up a new plan, always refreshing, taking what you're learning, adding to it, and so forth. But let's jump into this. Again, I won't be coming out of what experience I've had the night before. I'll talk about this is what I would plan to do in my group. Okay? Opening prayer. Scripture memory, Ephesians 5, 33. These are important scriptures. And by the way, I might on any given week just say something about the text. Ask, what did you get from that? When you memorized it, were you thinking of its meaning or just trying to be able to quote it? Keep massaging that whole area. Testimonies, one or two more. And if the testimonies are going quickly, I have for this week a question to interact on. I may not use it. If I were in the group, I may just say, nope, don't have time. But question would be this, you've got 2 years left to be married to your spouse because of a disease you know you're going to die. You got 2 years max left. If so, what would you start doing? What would you stop doing? Be an interesting discussion there to have. I bet you'd hear some very, very, very interesting things. I'm going to jump right then into accountability. And, you know, it's been a while since we've talked about the 21 days of worship. And I'm going to ask, all right, where are we now? Are you still in your journey to get it? Have you given up on it? Have you completed it? So let's just find out where people are there. And then on page 9, I'll tell you, I'm not sure which questions I would use because they're all so good. I think all but the first two questions, I think I'd put them in a category for me in my group. Not quite as important, but that's going to be your feel. You know your people, and pick one or two, come up with new ones. These are suggestions, so they should have already thought about these, but at the same time, you don't have to use those. You use whatever you choose to use. Going into truth and equipping. I think it'll be important here to review the whole idea of submission, though we've talked about it earlier in the first weeks. People are still probably going to be pushing back, saying, well, again, why is it acceptable that we would say a woman should submit to her husband? The whole idea of complementarianism, where we're equal but different roles. Might want to go back and underscore the Trinity and the fact that our Savior was in submission and thus is the exalted one. And that as ladies in marriage come into that submissive role, that they should be the exalted one. So, just go back and review that for a minute. From line 4 of page 4, I think I will just quote this to my guys. And it simply says this, a Christian woman's submission to her husband should reflect the church's reverence for Christ. This is, ladies, where you really want to be kind of digging in. This has to do with reflection of Christ's love. That's why Ephesians 5, 22 and verse 24 say what they say. You may want to note those down, go back and read them to your group. And in light of that, ask the discussion question, why does this have to do with the love that's eternal with Jesus, for Jesus, and also for your spouse? Why are those two connected the way they're connected? Next thing I'm going to ask is, what if the husband isn't worthy of respect? As I'm talking to the men, I would say, men, what if you're not worthy of respect? What do you think your wife should do, and how should she respond? And you may well hear men, you may hear this, well, she needs to submit regardless. Let me tell you, there you found you got a problem. the issue has got to be coming back on the guy. Say, no, we have to love. So watch for that very, very carefully. The I think line on page 5, I underlined several things that I thought would be important. Let me just read this middle of the first full paragraph. In the middle, it starts with the word God. It says, God doesn't command wives to allow themselves to be victimized in the name of submission. Rather, he guards them by setting clear boundaries around a husband's behavior toward his wife. And there he quotes out of Ephesians 5, each one of you must also love his wife as he does himself. And he provides the authority of the church. This is what we talked about last week. Provides the authority of the church, which can and should intervene on her behalf if a husband becomes exploitive or abusive. So then, Christian women who enter into a marriage may do so without fear, placing their hope in God as they embrace their God-given role. 1 Peter chapter 3, 5 and 6. Well, I know that there are people watching this that are not a part of a church that would even do discipline, that you couldn't go to the authority and have them intervene. And I do hurt for you, because do you realize that one of the marks of a church, three marks of a church in the Reformation, though faulty as these three, just these three might be describing the true church, one was the preaching of the word, two was the rightful serving of the sacraments, and number three, appropriate discipline of the church. And do you know that one has been dropped in so many churches, that ladies are being abused and they don't know what to do and they're calling the shots on their own. They don't hold the keys to the kingdom. Their church does, and their church leaders are not using the authority or keys to the kingdom. And consequently, it's putting them in positions to have to make decisions, to do things that often aren't wise and maybe otherwise are wise, but they're doing it without the confidence that it is okay, because they're not hearing from their church saying, you are okay at this point to do X, Y, or Z. So that is an important, important, important subject. And I hope you're discussing that and making sure that men don't think they can abuse and get away with it. No, it should never be that way. Number four question for me, or issue thing I'm going to cover, is for the singles. I'm going to ask them, what do you learn from this teaching regarding selecting a spouse? And hopefully singles are hearing that, boy, there's a lot at stake here. This idea of wanting to desire their husband, meaning wanting to control their husband, is going to lead to a very probable conflict after conflict, unless subdued by the power of God in their life, who says, whoa, don't do that. Love well, respect well. So I say, where this leads is to say, don't you dare pick a woman that says, oh, I'm a Christian. Don't pick a husband. He says, oh, I think he's a Christian. No. You ought to know that they're Christians, because they're aggressively going for the things of God. They may be young, baby Christians, but you see where they're headed. They're pushing hard. So very important for singles to think through that. Equipping questions, pages 7 and 8, are very, very good. Number 1 and number 2, the first two, which are on page 7. Men, you might, for your groups, you might ask the question, how would your wives answer this question? That'd be interesting. You're guessing what they would put if they were having to fill this out for numbers 1 and 2. 3, 4, and 5, again, you could say, what would your wife say on those? These are all very good. Pick one, two, or as many as you have time to use. They're all very, very good. Then I'm going to move my time to prayer at that point, and actually going to put mission at the very end. Again, because I want to see us have a time of prayer, of repentance. As we're learning more about what God says about the roles that we carry, we're going to realize more and more how we failed. We don't want to leave this group feeling like failures. We want to leave the group feeling like forgiven failures and restored failures, where we can know that, hey, it's a fresh new start. Let's go home and let's love well. Let's respect well. And by the way, the repentance that you offer can be based on the fourth question on page 8 under equipping. You'll know what I mean when you go there and look at that, okay? I'm going to end this week with mission. And what I would do there is just ask them to continue working on their testimony, That's very important. But then ask this question, how did your spiritual conversations go this week? Now you're going to pick up where you left off last week, because many of the people would have said, well, I didn't really do it. All right, this gives them another week. Now, if you see in 2 weeks they're not having spiritual conversation, you got to know there's some issues here we need to be dealing with. We need to think through. Why are they not asking the questions to interact? Why are they not dealing? And maybe you can come in and pastorally help as a leader in a helpful way. Question two on page 10, I think is a good question that you might want to use. And it simply says this, when was the last time you connected with someone on your prayer list? Ask about that and see, are you still engaging with people and trying to build friendships and relationships? Leader, I hope you have offered to your people the privilege for them to bring a non-believer to the table with you in some form or fashion somewhere so they can see you and you can equip them as you interact with their non-Christian friend. That can be a great training ground for your folks. So, and in prayer, if you want to, again, a closing prayer. We don't always close in prayer. We may like finish in mission and I'll say, okay, we're done. And I think sometimes we get to the point we think, oh, you've got to cap, you got to begin everything and end everything. It's kind of this formal and it becomes meaningless. But if you are going to pray at the end, don't just pray so it's a closed down mode. Pray where it's saying, Lord, this is what we ask you as we close from here. So again, hope you have a great week with your folks and God meets you in a special way. Have a good one.